On the day he was hired in the spring of 2008, praise for Holden Thorpe was not hard to find.
Holden Thorpe is about as true blue a Tar Heel as they come.
If you look at his career, obviously he's shot up like a meteor. I think he's a supernova. He's young, he's inexperienced, but he's brilliant.
Well, a lot of people are good listeners, but after he's listened, he can process information faster and come up with creative ideas about what to do.
Then UNC System President Erskine Bowles, outgoing Chancellor James Meeser, and English professor Bill Andrews were hardly the only ones infatuated with Thorpe.
How you doing? I'm Holden Thorpe.
Hi, Stephanie.
Thanks
Lou.
For coming out today. Great to see you.
On Thorpe's very first official day as chancellor, July 1st, 2008, he visited with student leaders at the campus Y. Just 43 years old, Thorpe was something new and different, a jazz-playing, convertible-driving young chemist, an alumnus who grew up in Fayetteville, someone who could appreciate Carolina's past and future.
It's impossible for it not to strike you. I mean, you walk in and here's William Davey and Frank Graham on the wall, so it's inspiring. And I think that, Carolina's on a roll. I just feel fortunate that I got to be the person that got to do this right now. It's a perfect moment for us.
Carolina wasn't exactly a perfect place when Thorpe took over. Significant budget cuts were just beginning, town-gown relations weren't great, and the plight of housekeepers on campus was a black eye. But the school was emerging from a campus building boom, and the future looked bright. Even Thorpe's first experience with big-time college sports was a positive one.
North Carolina is the 2009 national champion.
In his first 2 years, Thorpe dealt with normal chancellor problems, mild student protests, challenging budget cuts. He was a positive force and made those around him feel pride about being at the university. He handed out degrees and played some gigs around town with his band Equinox. And then at 3 in the morning on May 31st, 2010, football player Marvin Austin tweeted about the gifts he was receiving at a party in Miami. That led to an investigation into improper benefits paid to athletes and the discovery that assistant coach John Blake was working for an agent. And suddenly, Thorpe was trying to stay in front of a growing scandal.
To everyone who loves this university, I'm sorry about what I have to tell you. During the course of the joint investigation by the NCAA and the university into possible agent violations, we learned of a situation that includes possible academic misconduct involving a former undergraduate tutor and student athletes on the football team.
It became clear to Thorpe and others that this wasn't simply a couple of football players making some bad choices.
We realized that the penalties against the student athletes and Coach Blake were going to be major violations and truly, truly significant, and things of the scope of which we had never really seen before.
At first, Thorpe stood by both his athletic director, Dick Bedore, and football coach, Butch Davis. But a few months later, as the NCAA investigation intensified, Thorpe fired Davis, and Bedore would retire soon after. The university self-imposed sanctions on its football program, and the NCAA added to them. Thorpe found himself fighting with the media, which was clamoring for what it deemed to be public records. And more than a few alumni were furious that Thorpe moved too quickly, or not quickly enough. But that was hardly the end. Further investigation revealed even bigger problems in the African and Afro-American Studies Department. Academic fraud on a large scale. Grades were changed and classes did not meet.
That was probably the lowest point when I realized that there were significant numbers of classes that were questionable and how unprofessional that was.
On top of that, the school's top fundraiser resigned abruptly after he was caught using university money to take personal trips with the mother of one of Carolina's most heralded basketball players. Roger Perry was the chair of the Board of Trustees when Thorpe was hired. He says the search committee knew Thorpe had a gap, having never led a major university, but no one could have foreseen the rocky road ahead.
He had to learn on the job how to handle and how to deal with these situations that, quite frankly, I'm not sure any chancellor at Carolina's ever had to deal with.
Thorpe responded by asking former Governor Jim Martin to lead an independent investigation of the entire mess. That investigation revealed nothing new, and the university began the process of rebuilding its academic and athletic reputation and policies. Most have been well received, but one involved sending administrators around to classrooms across campus to make sure they were indeed meeting. It's a policy that has drawn some faculty complaints. And then 4.5 years after taking over with such high hopes, Thorpe abruptly announced he was resigning. Faculty and students like Travis Creighton took the news hard.
I think people really like Chancellor Thorpe. They think he's done a great job handling the leadership of this university. I don't think anyone's doubted his credentials or his reactions. The sense that I've gotten from the people I've talked to today is that he's kind of a scapegoat in this, and it really was not his fault. And I think we're going to be sad to see him go across campus.
Students and faculty held a rally to try to get Thorpe to change his mind. That didn't happen. A few months later, another group of students would hold a much different rally.
When I say student, you say power!
Power!
Student!
Power!
Student!
Power!
When I say survivor, you say power!
In January, a group of five current and former UNC students, including one former administrator, filed a federal complaint against the university for its handling of sexual assault cases. Thorpe again initiated reforms, hiring a consultant and some new administrators to try to revamp some outdated policies. Around the same time, Thorpe announced he was going to become the provost at private Washington University in St. Louis, a school that doesn't give athletic scholarships. Roger Perry, the former chair of the Board of Trustees, says he understands why Thorpe made the choice to leave, but he's also sorry for Carolina.
Let me tell you something. Having gone through what he's gone through, he's as probably as tough and seasoned and qualified person to be chancellor as has ever been. Now,
Thorpe's tenure will likely be judged by the decisions he made in the midst of the athletic and academic scandals. But he also quietly improved relations between the university and the town of Chapel Hill, as well as with housekeeping and grounds employees. Carolina also moved into the top 10 universities in attracting federal R&D research funding. Application for admission are up 43%, and fundraising has remained strong.
So do you think Carolina is better off now than when you started 5 years ago?
Oh, I believe, no question. We've got better policies for sexual assault. We've got better policies for monitoring what goes on in the classroom. And we've got a compliance philosophy in athletics, which is much more realistic in terms of the challenges that come with succeeding in college sports.
Thorpe's last day at Carolina is June 30th. The next day, Carol Folt from Dartmouth will occupy the chancellor's office in South Building and maybe even make her way over to the campus Y to talk to some students. She probably won't be as wide-eyed as her predecessor, but it's likely she'll also think this is the perfect time to be at Carolina. Dave DeWitt, North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC.